all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Mark of the Mighty Podcast, episode 166. 166. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you on that path to retirement and financial independence, Amanda. Hey, I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. I was thinking about you last night.
Uh-oh.
I normally don't watch TV, okay? Mm-hmm. But I was chilling a little bit. You know, I worked really hard and come out. I say, I'm just going to sit down and watch a little bit of TV. I turn on, I'm watching Don't Judge Me. For some reason, Friends was on TBS.
Okay.
Oh, you see, why are you all laughing at me already? But on TBS, they kept advertising this TV show called The Flight Attendant.
Okay.
Have you watched this?
No.
So it was like every commercial. I'm like, okay, I want to go watch the first episode of this thing because I used to be one. I used to work for an airline. I was like, all right, let me go watch this because I like the girl that stars in it. She's a great actress. Let me go watch this thing. Let me watch one episode. Four episodes later. Yeah.
You're hooked.
It's actually pretty damn good. But they have a lawyer in this thing. Okay.
Okay.
And just the way she's acted and stuff like that. I'm not saying it reminded me, but I'm thinking, what would Amanda do in these situations? It was crazy because the client, the flight attendant, is not doing what the lawyer's telling her to do.
Oh, yeah, never.
But this girl's crazy because she's drunk all the time. And the whole show, I'm totally hooked on this stupid thing. I should have never watched the first episode. It's actually pretty decent. It's so fast-paced with multiple storylines. It doesn't slow down, which is what I like. I always sit there and hear engaging conversation. This has nothing to do with money whatsoever. But I was just saying, you as a lawyer, you would probably laugh watching at this client's not doing anything that they say. Or when we do this podcast and we tell people don't do this and they run off and go get $40,000 cars or $100,000 pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of that frustration. I could see the frustration on this lawyer's face. Anyway. Hey, that has nothing to do with this podcast, guys, but I'm curious. Send me a message if you guys have seen this show. I'm watching the reruns from like last year. I guess there's a new season coming up, but I normally don't watch TV, Amanda. Do you watch a lot of TV?
We watch a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, this is an HBO show, though. Hey, we got four questions again.
Yeah, the usual. The huge.
And before we get into question one, like on the last episode, 165, I told everybody, we're not going to validate you going debt. We're not going to say, yeah, you should go get that car loan. Yeah, you should get a home equity. We're not going to do that. Just like that, our next rule is we always refer back to the baby steps. The baby steps are there, and we're going to do this. We're going to do the same order no matter what. There is no special circumstance, right, Amanda? I mean, there's a circumstance in how you adapt it. You got to be out of debt before you do the other steps. I mean, there's a reason why it's in that order in general, Amanda. Yeah. But when we answer the questions, Amanda, I think that's why you cringed. When we answer the questions, we adapt the baby steps to your situation. But the orders can be the same. What?
What did you say?
I don't know what I said. Hey, remember what I said in Lessa. Hey, I'm old. I don't know what I said.
Okay.
Question number one. Good.
Yeah. Question about baby step number three. So Craig, what's baby step three? A fully funded emergency fund.
I had to drink some coffee right when you asked me that question.
Oh yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't remember what baby step. No. Fully funded emergency fund of your 3 to 6 months of your expenses, not income.
Yeah. Yeah,
expenses.
So you know your expenses only by budgeting and doing the research.
And that money goes into a bank account.
Oh, all right, so here's the question about baby step three. If you own an asset such as gold, RV, motorcycle, etc., and even if you had a fire sale, you could still make $10,000 to $20,000. Can you count that toward baby step three, or does it all have to be cash?
See, I started answering the question before you asked the question. My bad.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, no, because you're
yeah,
assuming.
No.
Yeah, the answer is no. What you're assuming is that you'll sell that and you'll get $10,000 to $20,000. The point of the cash being in an emergency fund is I can get to it quickly. You can't just sell an RV today you could, but it's going to be a lot less than what you probably could get.
Well, I think that's what they mean by fire sale.
You know? Yeah, I guess, but you're going to get. No.
They're anticipating rock bottom pricing. Yeah.
This is somebody coming up with a strategy instead of doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, and they're justifying spending their emergency fund on toys, basically.
Ooh, that's a good one. An RV, a motorcycle, a gold chain. Well, if they're in Florida, that's normal. Gold chains, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one, Amanda.
Yeah.
Wow. If you have,
because their justification as well, it's my emergency funds, but if, a real emergency comes up, I guess I'd sell my motorcycle. Would they really do that? Probably not.
What they probably should do is sell the stuff and fund their emergency fund.
Oh.
Well, that's debatable. Could be a cool motorcycle. But no, the answer is cash. And we don't put that in the stock market or any investments. It goes into a bank account. And it sucks. And I know people all want to put it somewhere, but it cannot be in the markets where it's vulnerable to whatever may happen tomorrow, because nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody. There's not a single person on this planet, except unless you're Elon Musk and you're playing with the markets and you can make it do whatever you want. We are not that person. We cannot manipulate markets like big people. I'm not saying he's manipulating the market, Amanda, with Twitter.
Yeah.
But damn, if I could buy something and tweet out something and make it go to 50, that's a pretty damn good deal. Question number two.
Yeah, question number two. My experience has been 401ks don't have as much investment opportunities for growth that you have with an IRA, either traditional or Roth, through Fidelity or Vanguard. If a couple exceeds the AGI max income in a given year, is there any other tax-friendly place to invest for retirement and or way to reduce taxable income?
I love this question because, yeah, I have this. I'm right there. So what do you think, Amanda?
Well, so first of all, your observation is probably right that 401ks, company-sponsored retirement plans, mm-hmm. that's what a 401k is, generally don't have the broad range of investment selections for you. That doesn't mean you don't have the same opportunities for growth, because a lot of times they have the same type of S&P 500 index funds that you can do on your own. So the growth is the same.
Right.
You're just looking at it straight from what's my menu to select from. And yeah, it's a little bit more limited.
Yeah. I totally agree. If there's only six funds and one of them is an S&P 500 fund, well, there's enough funds there. Just pick that one. Literally. That's it. That's what you're basically saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
401ks have a much higher maximum contribution limit to it than an IRA. An IRA, you can only invest $6,000 a year, until you get to
age 50. I think it's $1,000 more at age 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas 401ks are much higher. I think this year it's $20,000.
Yeah. And again, there's a catch-up provision for older people, where you can go up to 26,000 or something like that. 25,000, 26,000. I can pull up the exact one. They just adjusted all these numbers. Yeah, for 2022, it'll be 20,500. There you go. And the catch-up provision is 6,500 now. It's 27,000, Amanda, in 2022. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Age 50 and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really good. Wow, that's a lot. I wish I had that when I was working. Damn.
Well, now you got your SEP opportunity.
Oh, there you go. So the second part of the question is, okay, so they reached the max, which is what they're saying is they can't do the IRAs probably is what they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well, you can still do a traditional. There's no income limits on a traditional IRA.
But as far as lowering your taxable income, I can tell you a good one, which was not available when I was working. It kind of showed up after I retired. Is the HSA.
If you're qualified.
If you're qualified. So you have to have a high deductible insurance that's qualified for an HSA. If you have that, that can reduce your taxable income no matter what your income level is. So that's one thing. But again, like you always said, you probably want to talk to a tax professional.
They're going to have all sorts of strategies to give you to manage your taxable income.
I was talking to a tax professional that happened to be watching my gaming. Yes, tax professionals watch video games. They were, and they're busy right now, this time of year, even after tax day. And they have a term for that when they have to really get strategic when you can't qualify for certain things that, that lower income earners have. So then they know all the little things to do, like start a side business and hire at least one person. I mean, all these little things, like hire at least one person, do this, do that. And they know that stuff. We yeah. don't know all these little things, but they can figure it out. And that's why taxes are complicated, to keep these people in business. But you need a professional. That's one thing that really burns you, right? That people don't seek professionals
yes.
for anything. Yeah, that's a big thing with you, right?
It is, yeah.
Anything else on that?
No, I think it's time for a break.
Well, you're listening to Rocket the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock of the Money. I'm Craig, and Amanda, the amazing Amanda, Amanda. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you know why the parent, your parents named you Amanda? I have a theory.
I think there was a Boston song.
That I knew it.
Yeah.
I was listening. I was mowing my grass then. The other day, and for some reason, that Boston song came up, and I'm like, when is this song released? I'm like, oh my God, I bet she was named after that song. I bet a bunch of girls were named that that year because it was like a number one hit.
I was nearly named Nina because there was also a song.
100 Left Balloons.
I think so, yeah.
That's it.
It was like Pretty Nina? Ballerina. Yeah, Nina.
I was just curious. Hey, we have 2 more questions.
Hey, before we get into that, I wanted to mention an article that you had shared with me a couple weeks ago that I've been meaning to bring up and we just haven't gotten around to it. But, you know, and there's this article that says that 1 in 5 workers run out of money before payday.
Oh my God. Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
And that was before inflation hit.
That was before inflation. So 20% of people are running out of money before payday.
I worked with people like that. I want to say which job I recently had. They would literally freak out if that direct deposit was not in there by a certain mm-hmm. time because yeah. they have bills that are due.
Well, and I see these commercials for banks and they're like, get your direct deposit 1 day earlier. And I'm just like, why does that matter?
Right. You should never be in that situation. If you're in that situation, you really got to buckle down and listen to what we're saying. That stat freaks me out, Amanda.
Yeah. The other thing I saw is on Good Morning America is they were mentioning that a large percentage of Americans are putting necessities on their credit cards, like food. And,
oh, no.
Yeah. Because of, you know, the challenges right now.
But what's going to happen when you do
the
that?
The challenges in the market, but also the challenges they have in actually budgeting.
So when that happens, that's going down a bad road.
It is, because they said the average credit card balance right now is around $5,500. And if you only made minimum payments on that and not, and didn't even charge anything more to the card, it would still take you 16 years to pay off.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse. A couple of take home messages there. The minimum payments are intended to make the credit card company money. They're not intended to help you pay off your balance, because they're trying to keep your balance as high as possible so they make a lot of money off of the interest. The interest rates on credit cards are astronomical when compared to any other type of financing. You know, we're talking sometimes 20 or more percent interest on that, which is really going to add up quickly. And then third, you know, putting necessities on credit cards. Now, I understand there are situations when that's like the last resort. If you've lost your job, you didn't have an emergency fund, like we've been, you know, talking about for years, people have to survive. So I get that, but it should be an absolute last resort. And then, you know, obviously you have the consequences of trying to dig out of that hole once you do get employed again.
I don't mean to pile on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I do that a lot and I shouldn't do that. But how many, I would just want to ask you, how many people do you think that are doing that where they're racking up their credit cards with groceries and necessities? However, they still have a subscription to Disney or Netflix.
Yeah.
I just want people to think about that. It's time to cut. If you're to that point, you cut out every flipping thing you have. You do not need all this other stuff. And you ever get into budgeting? You look at your credit card 1 month and actually look at it, which a lot of people don't. They just pay it. You look at all those little charges. That crap adds up. That $5 here, that $6 here. It's crazy. And they just increase fees without even, well, they let you know discreetly, but they keep raising everything.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So anyway, I just want to bring that up before we jumped into the last two questions.
So credit card companies are making money?
Yeah.
Okay. Just as last part of that, I was going to a doctor for a procedure down in Virginia on the Beltway in Fairfax County, Virginia. And that's where the headquarters for Capital One is.
Yeah.
Their single ivory tower is the highest building next to the Washington Monument in the whole Washington, D.C. area. And as soon as they built that, they started building a second and a third. I hadn't been down there in a while. They got four of these suckers down there now. Oh, my God. And they're gorgeous buildings. Apparently, Capital One makes a lot of money off of you guys. Not you guys, because you all are doing the right things, right?
Question
number three.
Yeah. So this person just opened a Roth IRA yesterday with Fidelity and maxed out contributions for 2021 and 2022. Any recommendations on mutual funds I should invest in? What are some favorites?
Somebody just did their taxes.
Yeah. Good
this
for
is
them.
What everybody's doing. Everybody's doing it. Yeah.
And good for them recognizing that there's a second step to do.
Yeah. So go ahead and answer those questions.
Well, so of course we coach that the simplest approach is to put your money into the S&P 500 index fund.
Yeah. And they're with Fidelity. I know Fidelity has no cost S&P 500 funds.
The symbol for Fidelity's 500 index fund is FXAIX.
There you go. That's a very popular ticker symbol that has been mentioned multiple times. That's their popular one. So, and I believe that one has no fees. The reason why companies like that, Amanda, have no fee funds like that, because they know you're looking for it. They're trying to get you in the door so they can market other things to you. Like that's one of the companies that you can get HSA with if you want to do it with there, or SEP, where Schwab does not have HSAs, where HSAs are actually done by other companies, but they use Schwab as their backdoor, portal into it. Things like that. So yeah, they want these no cost funds as a way to get you in the door. Kind of like Costco and their hot dogs. It's a loss leader, as they call it, I think, Amanda, in the business world. So, yeah, that's their loss leader. It actually is not a loss leader because it doesn't cost anything to do it. So,
all right, question four. So here's a question for everyone. Is it better to fund your Roth IRA all at once, one $6,000 lump sum, or fund it with regular smaller payments throughout the year? Does it even matter? Assuming you have the funds on hand to do a lump sum contribution, of course.
All yours.
Yeah. So I think we talked about this the last episode as well. I mean, my stance is fund it. I don't care how you fund it.
Yeah.
There are pluses, pros and cons to both approaches. So honestly, on balance, I think that they even out.
Yeah. Over long term, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And remember as we said before, once you get the money in there.
If you have the lump sum, you should contribute the lump sum before that money finds another purpose.
Yeah, there you go.
That's where I would land on that.
Yeah. You just get in there. Yeah. And remember, we don't have crystal balls. I mean, I could listen to 20 different analysts on CNBC and they'll say 20 different things. None of these knuckleheads know anything. None of them. I don't care if they went to Harvard. They don't know what's going to happen next month. Just get it in there. Yeah. I like your idea. Just get it spent. Just get it in. No, don't spend it. Get
it. Yeah, don't spend it. Put it in there.
And don't forget to fund it. I mean, you fund it, but you need to then invest it into a fund, which would be the S&P 500, which is what we said before. There you go, Amanda.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing landscaping. And what do you use for landscaping? You use mulch down there in Florida?
We're using crushed shell, and we're doing it one bucket at a time because we had a giant pile delivered to our driveway.
We expect a picture of your guns when you're done. All right.
I have been working out, yeah.
Oh, right, there you go. All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.